I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Fairfield County, live and local. I'm John Kamal, and I am hanging out with, for the third time, Ian, how many times have I interviewed you now?
I think this is number three.
Right. Ian D'Arcangelo. Am I saying your last name right?
That's very right.
D'Arcangelo. There we go. And Alex Giosa, my old friend, Alex Giosa. How are you, man?
Jeez, that's a loaded question.
Right? It's been 15 years the last time you and I were in a studio together. Let me set this up before I just jump into this. So this is Ian, you are the lead singer for the band One Time Weekend. And Alex, you are now playing some percussion with them. And, you know, you guys are going to do a big show on December 2nd at Infinity Hall in Hartford. And we're here to talk about that in general and talk about the band because, you know, the first time I interviewed guys was so long ago. You've grown so much since then. And I want to talk about all of that. But Alex, I do want to start with you because you are an incredibly accomplished musician. Back when I was in college, you recorded my first like real band, The Edge of Barstow. The Edge of Barstow in Rockville, fittingly, over by Vernon.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, man.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, actually, Ian, I don't think you know any of this history.
No, I don't think I've ever told you any of this.
This would have been before I met you.
Okay.
This would have been when Ian was in like elementary school.
Seriously, though. Well, see, I met Ian when he was a freshman in high school. So yeah. We're 10 years, about what, 10 years apart? 9 years apart?
Yeah, about
something
10
like
years,
that.
Yeah.
Well, so, we were like, Alex, we were like 20. Like, yeah. we were real young, man. And it was, so anyway, the reason I set all this up is because you are just an extremely accomplished guy. You've been the pit musician for Hamilton. Was it on Broadway or on the tour?
Broadway.
On Broadway, baby, yeah. The whole way. And on the way here, you rear-ended someone with your car. Go.
Oh, geez. Yeah, it's been quite the year.
And they had a reaction because they somehow found out that was what you did, you're a pit musician.
Yeah, so I took the Merritt Parkway down, and I travel the Merritt daily, you know, because I live, you know, in northern Connecticut, and I commute to the city. You know, you drive on the Merritt, you see all those on-ramps that come on with the stop signs, and I always see accidents there. And I kept saying, you know, the more I do this, one day that's going to be me. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. So today,
that's all of us, and I'm going to knock on wood as you say that, too, because it's all of us.
Yep. I still got to go home, so.
Yeah, right. That's right.
So the time was up today, and I, you know, I was behind someone coming on, you know, getting onto the on-ramp, and she started to go. So I thought she'd gone and took a look and looked the other way. And before you know it, you're right into the back of them. So we pulled off to the side of the road, and I'm just thinking, oh, great, you know, now someone's going to come at me. And why would you do that?
Of course.
So the sweetest woman gets out of the car, and she comes over to me and in this really thick Georgia accent, and it's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And this highway is awful. And so she was really, really sweet, and we started talking, and I, you know, we're both shaken up, but you know, we like, she was so disarmingly nice, and she even invited me. She was like, "Come sit in my car; it's warm, and we can hang out until the police get here." And so we started talking, and it came out that I do the Hamilton thing, and she lost her mind. She was like, "Hamilton on Broadway," and I was like, oh, God, it's like, because I, you know, I told her, like, I drive this all the time for work.
Yeah.
That's how it came up. But, you know, not to take this into the deepest spot in the world, but it came out partway through talking that, this woman had just, her son went to Yale, and she lost him in February at 24 years old.
Oh, my God.
And I recently lost my wife.
Right. I saw that on social. I'm sorry for that, man.
Thank you. Yeah. To me, those are two of the worst types of grief you can go through, losing a spouse, losing a child. She told me, she said, you know, I used to listen to the Hamilton record all the time, and I haven't been able to listen to the song where he loses his son. And I told her, I said, you know, I've probably played 100 shows there since my wife passed.
Right.
And last week was the first time I got through it without crying.
Really?
It took me 100+ shows to do that.
So, I know the show very well. Would you mind if I asked you what song kind of triggers it for you?
Oh, geez. It's throughout the show. It's a very powerful piece. I could probably do an entire interview with you where I just talk about it, but
I don't hate that as an idea for another time, but yeah, I'm sorry. Continue.
So there's when Hamilton, because Alexander Hamilton, you know, was famously killed in a duel, but his son was killed in a duel a few years before him in the same spot, the same place. And, when Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote a song about it, and, I watched an interview with him once where they asked him, you know, how do you write a song about losing a child? How do you go that deep? How did you find in yourself the ability to do that? And he looked at them and said, I didn't. Like, if you listen to the song, I didn't. The first words in that song are, there are moments that the words don't reach.
Right.
And throughout that song, they use the word unimaginable over and over and over until you're almost sick of it by the end. Mm-hmm. But he did that to hammer a point home that there is no words for something like that. And
wrote less about the feeling, but more about the indescribability of the feeling.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So it's a very, very powerful piece of music. And then, and then at the end, you see that, you know, his wife outlived him, and there's the last song
dramatically too. She's like 90 when she passes in the 1800s, when that never happened.
Yeah.
Right.
And the last song of the show is called Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story.
Yeah.
And, I think I said it, you know, the first time I got through the show without tears, I said, you know, maybe it's because I'm living, continuing to tell the story.
Yeah.
Cause even sitting here with this microphone in front of me, like, I will still, anytime I can bring her up, anytime I can, I wouldn't have Hamilton if it wasn't for her.
Yeah.
And that's a long story in itself, but I can tell you that it's really fascinating to go through life and meet people who are, you know, kind of on this path, that we're all on the same path, but that experience similar things along the path and find coping mechanisms in the same things. And I told her at the end of the night, we swapped information. I gave her my phone number.
Talking about the lady that you hit in the car now.
Yeah, and I said, the next time
you're
up here, from Georgia, and you're in New York City, let me know, and we'll link up in some way. But I told her at the end, I said, this sounds terrible to say, but I think I was meant to rear end you tonight. and I still made it here.
You did make it. You did still make it here. I say, by the way, no, thank you, man, for going there with me, because that's a beautiful story that I did. That's a beautiful moment that we just had that I did not think would happen on this podcast tonight. And also, I'm like the asshole who was just like, dad, tell the fucking funny rear end story that just happened right before you. You just brought me to the brink, man. All right.
So you told me.
What a storyteller.
I know.
You told me to stop in the elevator and to save it for here. And part of me wanted to say, well, I'm going to warn you, though, it's actually a lot deeper than it might seem.
That's great.
You know what? If you want to edit it out, edit it out.
Let's get a shovel. Let's get in there. Yeah. Come on. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I could equally go down that path talking about One Time Weekend.
Right.
Because I can tell you.
Look at that. That's a segue. That's what we call a segue.
Well, right there. Wow. Are you Paul Blart?
Get there, though. Get there.
The day my wife died.
Yeah.
I mean, that morning was
unimaginable.
I guess that's the way to put it. But I think Ian was probably the third person I called.
Wow.
I called my work to let them know I wasn't going to be there. I was actually supposed to play Hamilton that night.
Oh, God. Right.
I called my mom. And I called Ian. And in hindsight, I don't know. Like, I think I might have been prompted to do it because we had some gigs on the books, and I didn't want him to see through Facebook that I was dealing with this and maybe question whether we could still do the gigs, which I know he wouldn't do. I know, like, that would have been the last thing from his, but I felt the need to call him. And this whole idea of me digging a little deeper into the one-time weekend camp was kind of floating around that time. I think I had played a couple shows with them in various capacities. The topic of discussion very quickly turned to really putting myself into one-time weekend, going on the road, kind of reinventing myself. And I think I knew then and there that a project like this, because of what it is, how it was built, and where it comes from, and where I think it's headed, has what I need right now. So it's kind of weird, because every time we play a show or do something, I have Ian and Adam and Zach. They would say, thank you for the use of the studio. Thank you for coming on the road. Thank you for this. Yeah. Thank you for that. And I always want to say thank you, because I don't know where I'd be right now without the last few months on the road. I don't know if I ever would have gotten off of my couch.
Right. Well, it's a give and take, man, because this project, it would have been so much harder for us to do, if not impossible for us to do, in the last year without your help.
Well, and I want to tee up this project that we're here to talk about with, something that you said a second ago, what it is, where it came from, and where it's going in reference to the band. Mm-hmm. Because I first became aware of you guys, I remember it was 4 years ago, because my son was about to be born.
Wow.
When we were,
that's crazy.
When I first interviewed crazy. You guys, this is so deep now. I love this. I'm gonna sit back in my chair. This is so heavy. This is great. So you guys reached out to me because I had interviewed Goose.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, Goose is the bomb. Let me see what's up with this guy.
Yeah.
And I heard you guys play. I had you and Goose back to back. And like, I used to have bands come and play in the studio. And like, Alex, you would love it. It was this great, really great volunteer radio station. But like, very low tech compared to what we've got here.
It was a vibe,
and
though.
It's a vibe. Yeah. It is a vibe there. And everybody comes in and they bring in their instruments. And I had seen Goose do that like a week or two before these guys. And I remember thinking like, damn, these are like the best dudes that have come in and done this shit. This is crazy, right? And then I had you guys right after that. And I was like, yeah, that too. And I thought to myself, like, this is a band that's kind of going somewhere and that's going to do things. And that was 4 years ago. And now since then, you guys have expanded almost basically really, I mean, certainly out of Connecticut and almost out of New England in general at this point. You know, I mean, you're playing Peach Music Fest. You're playing a bunch of other festivals. I think that's probably like around the biggest one that you guys
for
are
sure.
on, right?
Yeah.
But all the local stuff. Everybody knows you, you know, who pays any attention to this scene up and down the Eastern Seaboard, and I'm sure that's starting to expand. So now that I've kind of laid a little bit of the groundwork for how we know each other and what your band is all about, tell me about this event that you guys have coming up.
Yeah, so, all right, well, I guess I'll start with the name.
Yeah.
We are calling it the Masquerade of Madness.
Love it.
And we started the year with a sold out show at Arch Street Tavern in Hartford. It really was oversold. But it was
Arch Street Tavern would never violate the fire code. How dare you? But continue.
Well, a little conflict of interest, because I actually am the talent buyer there now. So
whoops.
I probably shouldn't say anything.
Yep.
But it was definitely at capacity, definitely not over capacity at all.
At all.
But we had such a good time, and I think right then, like that night, I said, okay, well, we sold out Arch Street. What's the next step? And we said, I think Infinity Hall is the next step. And that's a bigger venue. It's about twice the size. And we then booked a date in December, thinking, okay, like we'll build this whole year and try and sell it out at the end of the year. Now, I don't know if it's going to sell out.
Sure.
But we decided for this hometown throwdown that we're going to like really make it an event and not just another show.
Yeah.
So we're calling it Masquerade of Madness because essentially it's going to be a night of masquerading mixed with like circus activities and special guests. Like we have members of, when is this coming out?
Huh? This?
Yeah.
I can have it up. I can have it up tomorrow.
Okay.
Monday.
Well, I'll say it. Whatever. We have members of Twiddle.
Yep.
We have members of West End Blend playing.
Gump put that out on his Instagram. That's not. That's like that's out. You're not breaking any like contracts.
Who put that out?
Gub did.
Oh, Gub did. But not. You haven't announced anything else.
Oh, really? Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
But this is fine. This is where it'll be. If people want to
see, I love
sneak
it.
Peek.
No, please. So, I wasn't even asking for the exclusive, but yeah,
well,
go for
it.
I was just trying to put you at ease. Yeah.
So the West End Blend horns.
Yes.
And then we have Taz playing.
Yes, Taz Niedermeyer. Yeah, Niederauer.
I think that's it. Niederauer. Yeah.
Niederauer.
playing guitar.
Yeah. He's a beast.
He's crazy. And then who else? We have members of Jelly.
Yes.
And then
you got Matt Camp playing the flute.
We're actually just Nate, but I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see.
All right.
You never know.
All right. If it's a show in Hartford, I think Matt Camp shows up. That's just
true.
Me.
That's true. but yeah, we kind of wanted to do something where we got some special guests in there that everyone knew, but then also included some of the local scene too, because that's where we're from.
Yeah.
We love Hartford. It's like one of the best underground scenes that nobody knows about unless you're from there or from Connecticut.
That's right.
We're just really looking forward to it. We came up with this theme. We came up with all the branding for it. And then I was boarding a plane to Colorado and I texted Adam and I was like,
Your other guitar player in one time weekend.
Guitar player,
Adam.
Yeah. And I said, I think we should write a song called Masquerade of Madness. And can we release it in time? Because Adam actually has been doing all the mixing for our band. And he was like, yeah, if we can do it in the next week and a half, sure. So we wrote, recorded, and shot a music video in a week and a half.
Yeah, boy. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Is that the one? Is that the one that you were gonna that you're gonna play for me later?
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. All right.
And you
all
can
right.
tease it in here if you want. Like,
yeah.
You
no,
do,
for
so.
Sure.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Actually, when we first met and spoke like 4 years ago, I actually, you know what? And I remember this moment very well because of how old it made me feel. You guys mentioned that you would come up like grown up playing music, listening to Twiddle, and like Twiddle for me at that point. Alex, you're like close to my age. Like I think I was about 30 when I interviewed you guys. I was like, Twiddle, Jesus, that's like a new, I thought that was like a new underground band. No, I guess it has been like 6-7 years that I've been listening to those guys. How does it feel to have them be one of your major influences? And now you're sharing the stage with them. What's that moment like? Because I saw you guys also do College Street with them. I watched that show.
Yeah, we did.
So like what, how does that feel now?
Well, it feels sort of surreal, but also very real. I mean,
you earned it.
I don't know if, you know, earned it or whatever, but we've definitely been plugging away at this band since, I mean, Zach was probably 15.
Yeah.
So it's been a long road and like a lot of development, because you develop a lot as a human between the age of 15 and 25. So we've gone through a lot together. But also at the same time, like, if I had seen that, if 15-year-old me had seen that 25-year-old me had a missed call from Gub on my phone, I would have been like, why the fuck didn't you answer that?
Yes, dude, exactly.
I don't care that you were on the toilet. Why didn't you answer the phone?
Right.
So I try not to fanboy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But we're really excited because those guys really mean a lot to us. And overall, just very excited.
I love that for you guys. I really do, man. It's
Thank
so
you.
Cool. Because I do remember talking about, you know what? Yeah, all right. So, Alex, you know what these guys remind me of a little bit? It reminds me a lot of what watching One Time Weekend play for the first time was the first gig that you and I played together. Do you remember that gig?
Was that the one at that sports bar in Vernon?
It wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Was it Joy Luck?
Yes, it was.
Holy crap. I still talk about
that.
Yeah,
all right. So, Ian, I've never actually told you any of the stories of how me and Alex know each other. So
no.
The way we met was me and Alex met at a, we had a gig. They opened for us, Alex's band, which was called, don't tell me, Swim the Mind.
Oh,
Swim the Mind.
Look at that.
I got it.
Oh, jeez.
Had a band called Swim the Mind,
And you didn't
we
do
were
enough
like,
drugs.
We were like, this ridiculous. Yes, these kids are all on drugs. But we were like, my band was this weird, like, psychedelic, classic rock kind of thing. I was playing drums in it. I don't really even play the drums. It was just like four guitar players. And I was like, all right, dude, fuck it. I'll play some drums. Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, that's how I started playing bass.
Right. That's it. And so we show up, and you had said that I could use your drum kit.
Yeah.
And I show up, and there's this massive, this is a Chinese food restaurant. Not like a Chinese food restaurant with a stage, not one with like a fucking big open area where there's like, no, it's just booths, man. It's just booths with people there eating their food. It's very small. It's not large. And in the back, there's this massive drum kit, which is actually a small version of your full kit, but like it was a very big drum kit in the back with like, I mean, roto toms and like a million different cymbals and like, you know, like a splash. And like,
I think the gong may have been
the gong was definitely there because you guys played Lateralis. That'll come in later in the story.
Oh, yeah.
And I sit down and I'm like, these trust fund asshole motherfuckers, this kid does not need all of these drums here. What is this absolute nonsense? And I was in my head, I was just totally motherfucking you the whole time. I'm like, this is so stupid, but whatever. Okay. They come out. You're like a year or two younger than me. But at the time that meant you were in high school and I was in college. So that was a very big deal.
Yeah.
And you guys come out and you just start shedding like Tool and fucking what else, like what other stuff are you guys doing?
So we didn't even have a singer at that point. We literally
you were all instrumental.
Yeah,
right.
We set up in the back corner of a Chinese restaurant and just blasted a bunch of instrumental Tool songs with like the bass player had like a 1200 watt amp.
Right.
The guitar player was playing a half stack. Like, it was the loudest.
It was the loudest thing you've ever heard.
Loudest thing.
But I immediately felt like an asshole because as soon as you got out, you literally played every single piece of that drum kit. And I was like, oh no, damn, you know, this dude's just a lot better than me. Never mind. This guy needs all of that kit.
No, you know, the funny thing too is I was managing I had just dropped out of music school.
Yeah.
Because I went for a little bit to try to become a great classical percussionist to Western Connecticut State, which is a great school.
Like, yes,
the education there was, like, the professors I had there were absolutely phenomenal, but I just realized I wasn't going to be a timpani player, like, or a marimba player. So I dropped out of school and happened to find a job managing the only mom and pop drum shop in the state of Connecticut.
Oh my God, the one in Manchester. That's right. That's how. Oh my God. Oh, this is so much. I'm sorry. I could do this literally all night with you.
Yeah, so anyway, he paid me to manage that shop, but I saved none of it because I just bought all that gear.
Yes.
And all that gear at cost and built a ridiculous drum set and in an old warehouse in Rockville, Vernon.
Yep.
And now I have an even more ridiculous amount of gear in an old warehouse in New Britain. So it's still doing the studio thing. And
it was that moment of like seeing this like younger band just absolutely tear stuff up. That was like, I remember. So when you guys linked up, I thought that was funny. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting how that kind of came full circle.
Smallest world.
You guys working together. Let me get back to this event real quick.
Sure.
Masquerade of Madness.
Yeah.
Is this going to be like, is this a ball, dude? Like, can I show up like with a, you know, the like Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah, so we're kind of leaving it open to interpretation. If you want to come dressed like Phantom of the Opera, if you want to come dressed in a full tuxedo, if you want to come dressed with a circus mask on or anything that you feel is going to represent that madness, then you can do that. I mean, we're encouraging it, actually. So
I love it.
There will be masks there for purchase or you know, rental.
Yeah, sure. Rental.
I don't know if we want
them
back.
Do you want them back?
Probably
say,
not.
You don't want those back. You don't want those back.
But yeah, it'll be really fun. I also forgot to mention that we have Scott Hene joining us on keys.
Okay.
He actually is in the Twiddle crew and often sits in with them. He's an amazing keyboard player. He played with us at House of Blues in Boston when we did a show opening for Twiddle there. So,
Dude, I am. I'm so pumped about it. This is so cool. All right, so let me recap. So this is West End Blend Horns.
Yeah.
This is Twiddle. How many members of Twiddle?
Just the bass player, Gub.
Just Gub. Yeah, okay, just Gub. Cool. Just their bass player, Gub. And then you've also got you mentioned circus acts and like, so what are you guys gonna have, like fire spitters and like, you know, people on stilts and stuff like that?
So I can't say for sure yet. Because I don't wanna like say something that might not happen.
Yeah.
But that's the idea. We're gonna try to get some stuff, like maybe a tarot card reader, just like things to keep people, maybe some fire breathers, just things to get people involved and make it a really super, it's gonna be like walking into a circus almost. / masquerade ball.
Yeah, dude.
So like, think about it as like, you walk in, tarot card readers to your left, maybe a juggler to your right. You come into the main room, the band's playing. You go outside for a smoke break. There's a fire breather out in the patio.
Yes.
Like, whatever the hell you want. Yeah. Or maybe just take a bunch of drugs and they'll be there either way.
Do that. Yeah, do that. Do that for sure. All right. So, Masquerade of Madness, December 2nd. And then what's next for the band after that? You guys got a new album coming out? You guys got, you know, obviously you have the new single Masquerade of Madness named for the event.
Right.
What else is coming?
So that Masquerade of Madness single, I should say, is dropping Friday the 24th. That's
okay.
This coming Friday.
All right. So yeah, November 24th. Yep.
Yeah. We are currently working on recording some new stuff. Actually, we're using Alex's studio for that. Thank you, Alex.
I'm still the one with the studio.
Full circle. Full circle is what I'm talking. Is it the same one in Rockville?
No.
That would have been too cool. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, it's all good. But we are planning on filling our next coming months with a bunch of shows. We're doing the Twiddle after parties this coming week after their Friendsgiving shows. So
nice.
We'll be playing at those down in Port Chester. Although that's not too far from here.
Yeah. Southern CT, that's right there.
Yeah. And then we are also, we're just booking up 2024. I mean,
right.
New album, hopefully on the way. Can't say for sure.
Okay.
But that's the plan.
New album, Masquerade of Madness, coming December 2nd, Infinity Hall in Hartford. Check it out. Members of Twiddle, West End Blend, and just every kind of drug-induced insanity that you can possibly imagine. All going to be right there. You know, Ian, Alex, thank you guys for coming in. This was great.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.